heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Thanks for tuning in. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. If you're listening on Friday, we're just rounding out the solemnity of this most sacred heart of Jesus. What a wonderful time to celebrate Christ's love for all of the world and how he gave his life in love for that mission. If you're listening on Saturday, hopefully you're celebrating the memorial of the Immaculate Heart of Mary as well. A heart pure, unstained, and ready to do the will of God. Well, but I want to talk to you a little bit about February 14th. Do you remember February 14th? Can you remember back that far? Sure, you say. It was Valentine's Day. Well, yes. Yes, it was. Some of you will be quick to add, it was St. Cyril and Methodius Day. All right. Very good. Very good. Good attention to the liturgical calendar. And it was that as well, though this year their celebration was suppressed as it fell on the sixth Sunday of Ordinary Time. And that's why I bring it up today. It's been that long ago, 17 weeks, that we were going through time. And this weekend, we're back into the Sundays of Ordinary Time. Well, we've got quite the horticultural readings this weekend, which is entirely appropriate, as around me at least, the corn has made its way up to about shin high. So I think we're going to hit that knee high by the 4th of July. And all around us, trees and shrubs, bushes and flowers are back to their full verdant splendor. Gardens are starting to grow, and so such good things that are coming up as fruits of the earth. And this week's gospel, so set up so well, even by the Old Testament reading from Ezekiel, is a wonderful parable that reveals the Lord's willingness, and not just his willingness, but his desire to cooperate with us in the establishment of his kingdom. The first is the parable about how seeds sprout and grow, but the farmer, he doesn't know how, or she doesn't know how. This underscores that the work of God, that he is ultimately responsible for bringing about the growth of the kingdom and the fruit of that kingdom. And that's something we must never forget. Regardless of how hard we labor and work, it's ultimately all up to him. It all depends on the Lord. But mysteriously and wondrously, he has a role for us as practicing Catholics to play too. Note in the first parable how it is the man who scatters the seed and wields the sickle. When we willingly cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we scatter the seeds of the kingdom that reveal the imminent presence of the living Lord through our words and through our actions. And we also harvest the fruits of that kingdom, the lives that are given over to Jesus in the midst of his church. We harvest those fruits through welcoming new brothers and sisters into the faith, into the communion of saints. And the second parable that Jesus tells us this Sunday is the familiar one, the one of the mustard seed. I think this one is a great reminder that all of that work that we put in for the kingdom is ultimately for others. Well, the birds of the air in the parable. It is ultimately the work of mission. And of course, this makes total sense, as our Lord's entire incarnation was and is one of mission. When we cooperate with the Lord, he puts us to work, but it's work in our time and in our place, even as small as it may be. Or as large as it may be, it is work that will endure for all eternity in heaven. That's not such a bad deal, right? So, This week, my encouragement to you, plant some seeds. Talk to someone about how the Lord has provided for you. Pray for someone who's in special need of the Lord and His presence, His grace, His mercy, His peace. Share the good news of Jesus. Share the gospel with others. Go out of your way to do something, something kind, something born of the fruits of the Spirit for someone else. Invite somebody to follow Jesus and to be baptized. In short, live the life of a disciple, the life of a practicing Catholic. All right, we got another great show in store for you this week. Thanks again for tuning in. Hopefully you listen to this show, you listen to Practicing Catholic, at least in part, because you're wanting to become a practicing Catholic, or you already are one, and you want to continue to grow in your practice of the faith. First up on the show today is a resource you're going to want to know about. Jeff Cavins is going to be with us in just a moment to talk about a new course from the Catechetical Institute School of Discipleship. Next up, reconciliation is a word at the very heart of Christianity. Reconciliation of people with God and with one another. A complicating factor to working toward this reconciliation can be racial and cultural differences. How can we work together with the Lord and one another to actualize the peace of Christ in our racially diverse cities, communities, and parishes? Dr. Kate Walsh-Souchere is here to talk about an interactive multicultural competency training day that offers hope in building bridges instead of walls. Speaking of barriers to reconciliation, another one is the destruction wrought by alcoholism. Still, there is hope. Of course there is. In the Lord, there is always hope. Tim Murray will be joining us to talk about the ways that Trinity Sober Homes has helped men get back on their feet through their recovery. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, giving the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, many of our listeners are familiar with the Catechetical Institute. I'm guessing some of you have probably even been through their 2-year, 4-module program. I've always heard great things about it. Well, coming up this summer, there's even more. There's another offer through the Catechetical Institute School of Discipleship. And here to tell us all about it is Catholic speaker and Bible teacher, creator and founder of the Great Adventure Bible Study Series, Jeff Cavins. Jeff, welcome back to the program.
Thanks. It's good to be with you. Feel like I'm always home.
Yeah, exactly. Always great to have you on the program. Yes, and welcome back just even for these few minutes here. So, Jeff, let me start out as former director of the Catechetical Institute, and now you're the instructor of this School of Discipleship course, among, of course, all the other things that you do. Tell us about the mission of this course. Tell us about what it is in its basic, and what are you hoping to achieve in and through this course?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on. The Catechetical Institute has now graduated over 3,000 people in the Twin Cities who have gone through the 2-year pillar program, and that's quite an achievement. And I would say that we're a rich diocese because of it, with 3,000 people scattered abroad. But what the next step that we wanted to tackle was to take people to a new level. And they can do this before the Catechetical Institute, and certainly it's a natural progression after they finish their 2-year study. But it's called the School of Discipleship. And up till now, we've had over 2,000 Twin City people go through the Catechetical Institute or the School of Discipleship. And it's really about making activated disciples, or what you would call a practicing Catholic. And it's taking them to a new level. It's one thing, as you know, it's one thing to know theology, to know what the church teaches. But the truth is that we don't have a personal relationship with theology. We have a personal relationship with a person, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are all about forming disciples. We're about teaching them the roots of discipleship. What does the life of a disciple look like? The shape of your day reflects the love of your life. And how do you go about growing in your faith? And then one of the most exciting parts that we are introducing is how to witness to other people. And so we're getting people that are coming into the School of Discipleship that have been strong Catholics for over a decade or two, but by their own admission, they would say, I've never shared Christ with anybody in the last 20 years. And now they're doing it. And that's it. That's really, really exciting. And so we're introducing them to a new way of life, to be an activated disciple and to put their faith into practice. It's kind of like walking with Jesus the way the early disciples did. And I think most of us would raise our hand if we were asked the question, would you like to walk with him? Yes, I would. But what does that look like? That's what we're about.
Wonderful. So give us, drill down a little bit into that. How are you looking to accomplish these? I mean, a very worthwhile endeavor, to be sure, and really hand in hand with what it means to be a disciple. As Pope Francis said, you know, we're all missionary disciples. And but how are you looking to accomplish this, Jeff?
Sure. Well, we start with the foundations of discipleship in the Old Testament. And of all the places where we see the foundation, it's the one book people avoid, and that's Leviticus. And we see in Leviticus that God is actually raising up and discipling a nation. And the goal is that they would become like God. And then we move into a really interesting look at how you actually became a disciple 2,000 years ago. And I think, I'll speak for myself, there was a time where I didn't understand this at all. I just thought you would kind of get baptized and say, well, I'm a Christian, but there's a difference between being a Christian and a disciple. And so we look at the actual way that rabbis called people to follow them, and then we look at what Jesus did, which is synonymous with the way disciples or rabbis acted in the first century. The only difference is that Jesus happens to be the second person of the Trinity, which is quite an advantage. And then we get into your relationship with Jesus. What does it look like on a daily basis? What do you do first thing in the morning? What do you do for the last thing before you go to bed? And throughout the day, do you look for opportunities to grow? Do you look for opportunities to share the love of God with other people? And that is a really exciting part of the study, because what we're really putting before the people is a new way of life. Because, I mean, let's face it, most of us will fall to the least common denominator. That is, I go to church on Sunday, I take in a study once in a while, I listen to relevant radio, I listen to Catholic TV, I listen to CDs and podcasts and everything else. But when it comes to me entering that, that calls for courage, and that calls for humility to really follow him and to begin to put into practice those things that you always thought were outside of your gift or outside of your capacity. And in fact, it's funny that one of the most common excuses that we hear from students is that when it comes to sharing Christ with other people, they'll say, well, that's not my gift. And we try to make a point out of none of it is your gift. Everything that he called you to is above who you are, and it calls you to come and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we try to dismiss the excuses that people come up with and to raise them up to a new level. You know, Bishop Cousins said one time in a talk I was listening to him, and he said that Jesus said, fear not, more than anything else. And the reason that he said fear not is because he's calling you to a walk where you might have reason to fear. But if we take stock, you know, Pat, of our life today, we have to ask ourselves, the way we live the faith in the Twin Cities, is there anything that is fearful? And the answer usually is not really. You know, I'm not faced with fear in going to Mass. I'm not faced with fear in going to a fundraiser or something. I'm not faced with fear in being a part of a class, you know, at parish. When you ask me to interact with people that I don't know, and you ask me to live a different lifestyle, some fear does come in. And And that's good. You know, that we overcome that. And so then we set out to help people in the shape of their day. And what do we mean by that is, if you're going to be a disciple and you're going to follow Jesus, what is your day going to look like? What's the pattern? What's the habit that you're developing? What are the areas that you need to grow in? How do I learn how to open up conversations with people and to get to the heart of the matter? What is the good news? What's the gospel? All of those things we go over in detail. And once people hear it, man, there is an excitement that they enter into of a new journey that they always were longing for, but they didn't, you know, quite know how to obtain it.
Yeah, that's an important point right there, that there is a sense of fulfillment. There's a sense of intimacy with God, a sense of I'm doing what I was made to do when we take that step into being a living witness for Christ, isn't there?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's what we were talking about just a moment ago, and that is we don't have a personal relationship with theology. We have a personal relationship with a person, and that personal relationship is lived out in community, you know, the church. So what our students are finding is that their walk with the Lord as a community is deepening, and certainly it's deepening as a disciple. One of the things we're hearing, which is interesting, from the pastors, because we host this in different parishes, the thing we hear them say is that the number of people coming to Mass is growing, the number of people involved in the parish is growing, and the number of people coming to confession regularly is growing as well. So that's exciting when we start to hear that type of thing.
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting. So, Jeff, how far along the line in terms of one's own personal relationship with Christ are you anticipating that people should be before they sign up for your course? Is this for everyone, or is this for kind of the mid-level Catholic? I mean, I'm being very generalized here, but yeah, what would you suggest?
Oh, it's a good question. We want people to have a master's degree. No, I'm kidding.
Right. Yeah.
What this class is open to the neophyte. In fact, this is something that is going to be really, really important for those who have just come into the church, is to develop habits in a certain shape to your day. That's very, very important. But also for the experienced Catholic who is pretty deep in knowing their faith. And we have found that there's a big difference between knowing your faith and living your faith. And so whether it's the beginner or it is the experienced Catholic, this introduces a new way of life to both of them. And it places everybody kind of on the same starting line, and there's no shame at all in coming back and saying, you know what, I've been walking with the Lord or I've been interested in Catholic teaching for a long time, but I'm just sensing that I've got to take this to the new level in my life. And so, you know, to answer your question, it's really anyone who has a hunger to walk with Jesus the way the disciples did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. I suppose we better hit the logistics of it. So this is going to be over the course of 7 Tuesday evenings from June 22nd to August 3rd of this year. Mm-hmm. So it's starting not too distant future, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. 7 to 8:30 p.m. taught by you, Jeff, yeah, at the Church of St. Vincent de Paul in Brooklyn Park. And there's a in-person option, there's a virtual option, there's an option for parish groups, there's discounts available for parish groups as well. It sounds intriguing, it sounds like it's well worth the investment, Jeff. But talk a little bit about, it's going to be followed by something called an Activated Discipleship Seminar. What is that all about?
Sure, well, you mentioned the 7 weeks on Tuesdays that I'm going to be teaching from 7 to 8. And after that, we have adoration for a half an hour. We just spend time in the presence of the Lord to kind of assimilate what we've learned and think about how we might put that together in our practice. When the 7 weeks are over, we enter a 40-day discipleship challenge. Now, people are going to receive a book for the teachings, and they're going to receive a journal for the 40-day discipleship challenge. And the purpose of the 40-day challenge is to practice putting, as you know, as your show mentioned, the practicing Catholic, it's giving you an opportunity to practice becoming a disciple for 40 days. And then at the end of that 40-day period, we have a beautiful seminar, and we bring in Dr. Mary Healy, who is on the Pontifical Biblical Commission. She's spirit-filled. She's on fire for the Lord. And she gives three talks on the Holy Spirit in discipleship. And then we also, at that final seminar, we open the mics up and we let the students share with each other how their life has changed, experiences they've had in sharing Christ with other people, and just the pure delight of what it has meant to walk with Jesus for 40 days. So that's really the three-part experience. It's the 7 weeks of class, 40-day challenge, and a seminar at the end where we bring it all together.
Yeah, what a fantastic idea, too. So you're not just learning head knowledge, but you're actually putting that into action, which I suppose is the whole point. Yep, yeah, exactly. Living the life of a disciple, an activated disciple. Wonderful.
Right.
Well, Jeff, we're nearing the end of our time here, but I do want to thank you for putting this together. And any specific things that we can pray for you for as this gets off the ground?
Well, just pray for, you know, for the Lord to continue to lead us and to open up doors for more people to participate. COVID-19 changed everything for the world, and the people's lives have changed, and the way that we teach has changed a bit, and we need wisdom from the Lord for that. But I would encourage people, if they want to get involved with this, and as you mentioned, it's going to be starting up in June 22nd. That's not very far away, right. And you can go to SEMSSP. That's SEMSSP.org/CI, and that's SEMSSP.org/CI for more information. And when you sign up, you're going to be getting a book, a journal, a Bible timeline chart, a commitment card, a kerygma card that teaches you how to share the gospel, plus the seminars. And we're going to be providing two videos every week during the 40-day challenge that encourage you to keep on going. So we're going to be providing a lot of good things for people to experience the School of Discipleship.
Wonderful. Well, Jeff Cavins, we are so grateful you took time out of your busy schedule to be with us to explain this upcoming course from the School of Discipleship, and we are grateful for you and all that you do. God bless you, Jeff. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Yep. We are going to go into our first break. When we come back, how to work for the common good through building peace in our communities, nation, and world. Dr. Kate Walsh-Soucere joins us in just a minute. Stay with us.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the Church teaches and what the truth is. And that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that that message reaches you in souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
I'm a cradle Catholic, and I've learned more about my faith through Relevant Radio and Glass Your Father than I have in 50 years now of being Catholic.
Need to know something about the Catholic faith?
Go ask your father.
Weekdays at noon Central, 1 Eastern on Relevant Radio.
Well, Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Racial and cultural differences between individuals, families, communities, and nations have helped people experience and grow in appreciation for the wondrous breadth of the love of God. Think of St. Peter's encounter with Cornelius. Unfortunately, they have also been exploited by the enemy to sow seeds of division, factions, mistrust, and hatred between individuals, families, communities, and nations. As practicing Catholics, we need to continue exploring and implementing new ways of undoing prejudice and bias, and working with Christ in tearing down what St. Paul describes as the dividing wall of enmity. Joining me now is Catholic author, speaker, and former therapist, Dr. Kate Walsh-Soucheray, to talk about one of these ways. Dr. Walsh-Soucheray, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you so much, Patrick, for having me on today.
Absolutely. Great to have you with us. So tell us a little bit about your previous work with multicultural sensitivity training, and where did it translate in your former line of work as a licensed marriage and family therapist?
All right. So first of all, Patrick, I have a doctorate in educational leadership from St. Mary's University. And on July 1st, 2017, I woke up early in the morning to start my comprehensive question. And I was expecting to be asked about dinner time, family dinner time. And when I opened the question, the committee had chosen that I should answer about white therapists, because almost 90% of us are white, working with people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I fell off the chair, like, you gotta be kidding me.
Right,
I don't know. And as a therapist, working with all people, it's shocking that I couldn't just snap my fingers and begin working. So I had to ground myself and say, okay, now where do I begin? Because unfortunately, Patrick, that's what so many white therapists are, and counselors, mental health professionals, educators, spiritual leaders are met with, is that we just don't know what we don't know. So after ordering some books and going online and downloading articles, I then began to read and educate myself. And so essentially what I found was that there were five words that kept coming up. And, you know, awareness was the first one, that I have to be aware of what I don't know. And then being sensitive about what I don't know, and trying to listen and be curious. And then just simply to be responsive, to come from my humanity to the next person's humanity, and not to see them as other or different. And then to be competent. I don't have to be expert. I just have to try to be competent. And then on all of that, I have to put on being humble. We have to be humble and to know what we don't know, and to ask questions of people to help us to know more.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Well, all those things definitely true in terms of our interactions with others, especially with those of different racial or cultural backgrounds. Now, you're working up to lead this Multicultural Sensitivity Training Day for mental health, spiritual, and educational professionals coming up in this fall.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, where did you see the need for this coming from?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I realized that I didn't know what I should have known.
Sure,
so that's right. Where it started. It was that mm-hmm. I didn't know. And then I realized that, you know, I'm a good person, and it's not because I didn't want to know, or I didn't think it was necessary to know. It had not been required of me, which is terrible to say that. And because it hadn't been required, there were so many other things that are required for trainings that I took those trainings, and I saw the need in that. I realized that I couldn't be the only therapist or the only mental health professional who saw this as something that I was lacking. And so I began to lead. I put together some trainings based upon the dissertation that I wrote and presented and defended and at St. Mary's with the committee. And as I did that, I then put together this training, and I had people come and take it, and they just all echoed the same things that I said, which were, I can't believe what I didn't know. Mm-hmm. People need to take this training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Looking into the content of the day, what are some of the themes specifically that you're hoping to focus on, and what are your goals for it?
Well, so first of all, it's looking at those five words, but then also looking at the virtues, because for Catholics, we're always interested, whether we realize it or not, we should be interested in living a virtuous life. And so for Catholics, we have in the recent Vatican II Council of about 50 or so years ago, Gaudium et Spes states that if there is one heart beating in pain and I don't care, I can't be called truly human. And so it's for us to learn about and be curious about and want to learn to help other human beings to find greater peace and greater happiness in life, and that we're able to do that when we can meet them where they are. We're not asking them to come to where we are as therapists. We're going to meet them. Now, that's very, very much a St. Thomas Aquinas teaching, that we cross the room to help the other one. We find out where they are, and then we stay with them. And so one of the comments that I learned in the reading that I did, one of the authors stated, we are one, but not more than one. So I don't occupy space more than one person. So for us to learn to be humble enough to see that.
Right. Now, it sounds like this is applicable across the board. I do see that the training day, well, it I have it here that it's for mental health, spiritual, and educational professionals, but is it going to be open solely to those people, or is it open to others as well?
Others as well. And I was over visiting the space that St. Mary's is located in the Phillips area of Minneapolis. So it's right in the heart of a pretty poor neighborhood. But it's also, I have a master's degree and doctorate from them. And my master's was in marriage and family therapy. And then the doctorate, educational leadership. It's a fabulous, fabulous experience. And all of the parking lots, all of the grounds are all protected, and people are walking, policemen are walking all the time, helping everyone to feel safe. And so, yes, it's open to everyone. And Patrick, to say that we all need to learn how to cross the room to help each other, and because that's when we're truly, truly going to find peace. I'm not going to find peace by finding peace for myself. And that's the essence of the Jewish word shalom. The essence of the Jewish word shalom was that the person didn't find peace alone. They found peace with others. Community found peace together. So it's not I get to have peace and other people don't. It just doesn't work like that.
Right. Yeah. Well, exactly. Sharing of the peace is the best way to find the peace yourself, certainly.
Yes. Yeah. Do you know, it's really what Pope Paul VI said. Pope Paul VI, very often we see this on posters and maybe bumper stickers and things, and it says, if you want peace, work for justice. And that comes, Isaiah 32:17 states, the fruit of righteousness, which is relationships in right order, that's what righteousness is. It's when our relationships are in right order. So Isaiah 32:17 says, the fruit of righteousness is peace, quietness and trust forever. That was what Pope Paul VI was saying.
Yeah. Well, it's a great reminder. Just curious, is this going to be something that is applicable to all cultures, especially those in the Twin Cities? Are you going to focus in on specific ethnicities or specific cultures?
That is a great question. So there have been four groups that have come to the United States in the past 50 years. And if we do not also recognize, and to say this in a politically correct, respectful manner, humbly I say, how do we work with blacks? And that is the correct term that the research uses, is the word black. People who have a slave background, who come from generations And that's just horrifying. I was explaining that to our 8-year-old granddaughter this morning. We were talking. And she was like, Nani, this just doesn't make sense. Why would people do that? Very good question.
It's a good question, right?
Yeah. Very good question. She said, who thought that that was right, to make people work for nothing and hurt them? She said, what? Like, right on, Ada. And so it's Somalis, Hispanic, Hmong people, and Indian Asian. And they all have different ethnic needs. They all have the culture that they brought, and we're not becoming a melting pot that we did in the 1850s. The culture's coming today. They want to hold on to their own cultural ways, and the way that they raise children, and the way that they espouse education, and the values that they hold as families. And actually, we could all learn from them. And so for everyone, but especially mental health professionals, educators, and spiritual leaders, because those three groups are serving these ethnicities. We're working with them, but we're serving them. And so to learn how to serve them in a respectful, kind way to help draw out the best that they have, that they, this sounds selfish, but that they have to offer us. So it's not, we will learn from them if we will allow ourselves to do that.
Yeah,
I don't know if that makes sense.
Does does. Yeah, it absolutely does. So let me ask you, I mean, it sounds like there's a ton of information here, and not just information, but a ton of applicable, you know, making our into the lives of, as we were just speaking with Jeff Cavins, of an activated disciple, a real disciple of Christ that we can put into our lives. Are you doing this all by yourself?
No.
Okay.
I was actually, thank you for asking that. The last two trainings that I've done, I have done it alone, and it's worked, and I offered this training, and so if I could use this terminology, Patrick, it was on my heart. It was on my heart. I had people interested. I had people sign up, but it wasn't enough to have something that Toporek and Worthington, they're two authors from 2014 in an article, they had a term that they called difficult dialogues. They want us to invite ourselves to become part of difficult dialogues, dialogues that make us uncomfortable. And we didn't have enough people to have a good, difficult dialogue. So instead of continuing forward with the speakers that I've hired, they've all agreed to come, and I've met them in there and listened to them, and they're so fabulous, just so fabulous.
Yeah, wonderful.
And so instead, it was on my heart to step back and to assemble a group. And so I'm in the process of doing that. And if you have any listeners, Patrick, who would like to be part of that, they would simply need to reach out to me. And we will invite them to join us. And it's not to be, we're not engaging in a political agenda. We're not, because that's not what the people who have come here, they're coming here to be part of a great, great country. So we don't want to divide ourselves into a political one, us against them. We just don't want that. But if people want to be part of the solution, we'd love to have them come and join us.
Great.
The word that is used is the word ethno-relative. And I had a woman who had to read the dissertation for me. And she reached out and she said, I've never heard this word. And we oftentimes hear ethnocentric. And ethnocentric is that my ethnicity is central. Ethno-relative is that I'm one but not more than one. I'm with us. It's community. That's what ethno-relative is.
So gotcha.
For us to help build an ethno-relative society.
Wonderful.
Huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Quite a task. Now, we've just got a few seconds remaining, but I just wanted to ask you, as I understand it, things are still in the preparatory phases, so you don't have a specific time or date or location just yet. Is that correct?
We're actually going to hold it at St. Mary's University at 2500 Park Avenue, And incidentally, St. Mary's just hired a VP of Inclusion and Human Dignity. And we've asked him to give us his assistance and help and ideas. And so we have people from pastors and clinicians and educators who have joined us. And we will discuss and talk and what do we need to do and what do we think our different professions need to hear. And so the dynamics of the group will give what the day is going to be. But it usually, it's a long day. I'm not going to kid anybody. It's a long day, but it's fabulous. And people are truly not tired at the end. They're so energized and they go forth feeling like they really have a mission to accomplish.
Yeah, that's great. Let me jump in here and just ask quickly, how can people be informed about the event?
Sure. Okay. So they could reach out to me at my email, which is Kate, K-A-T-E, Walsh, my maiden name, W-A-L-S-H, Soucheray, my married name, S-O-U-C-H-E-R-A-Y, at gmail.com. Or they could reach me at my website, which is www.ifhwb, the Institute for Family Health and Wellbeing, .com, ifhwb.com. They can find information there.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Walsh, thank you so much for joining us here on Practicing Catholic. God bless you in this great endeavor.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. We're going to head into another break. Stay with us, though, because when we come back, what can we do to support men on their road to recovery from alcoholism? Tim Murray from Trinity Sober Homes joins us right after this.
The Inner Life.
Father Joseph Johnson.
You know, prayer too often is part of what I call vending machine spirituality. You know, I insert my prayer, I'm going to say a rosary. I push the button, this is the favor I want. And then I wait for it to come out. And when it doesn't come out, what do we know? If I put in my dollar to the vending machine, I push the button for the candy bar I want, and the candy bar doesn't appear in the tray, something's wrong with the machine. I go away mad. I'm never going back to that vending machine. And I'm going to tell all of my friends, don't ever go over to that vending machine.
The machine ain't my dollar.
And that's how we treat God. But what we have to be able to do is see, God is not a vending machine. God is a loving Father. And He's not saying no. He's saying, your eyesight is limited. But I, your eternal Father, see 2020. And there's something better I want for you because I love you so much.
Our Catholic priests are here to help.
The Inner Life, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthium, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 a.m. studios in Golden Valley. So how do we as practicing Catholics work against the evils of alcoholism while simultaneously loving and supporting the people under that affliction? With me now is Tim Murray, Executive Director of Trinity Sober Homes. Tim, my friend, welcome to the program. It's been a while since we've chatted.
Good morning, Patrick. It's wonderful to hear those dulcet tones of yours.
Oh, yeah. Flattery will get you everywhere, Tim, so just be careful with that.
I miss seeing you in Mass every morning.
Yeah.
In the cathedral.
Indeed, yes. I miss the cathedral dearly, of course, and all my friends there. Well, let me start out just by asking you to explain to us the mission of Trinity Sober Homes.
Sure. The mission of Trinity Sober Homes is to provide quality housing and Catholic faith-based support to men recovering from alcoholism of all faiths.
Nice. Well, that was short and succinct. Now give us a little bit of the history behind Trinity Sober Homes. How did you all get started?
Sure. So I showed up on the doorstep of Father Martin Fleming's house in 2010, roughly a year sober, but still very broken financially, emotionally, and particularly spiritually. And Father was running a group of houses that he had been doing basically a de facto sober house organization since the early 80s. And
okay.
I lived with Father for about 6 months, and Father was a retired colonel from the U.S. military. He was actually the general chaplain of the military. So all of the chaplains in the military reported to him, and then he reported to General Colin Powell down in Fort Bragg.
Wow.
And Father used to like his military and Catholic terms. And so if you ever recall, when Father would talk, he typically would have his head down, and you'd think he was sleeping, but he was probably one of the smartest and most alert men that I know. And he sat me down, and he said, "Tim, I have inside word that my transfer papers to purgatory are being processed, and I'd like you to join me on a mission to roll out a series of authentically Catholic sober houses." Then he looked me right in the eye with those steely blue eyes and said, "What do you think?" And I tell people, if you think it's hard to say no to a priest, try saying one that was also a colonel.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, very
and my
good.
Response was, well, Father, you know, Catholics tend to get a pretty tough rap in the rooms of our 12-step program. And I said, let me go out and do a little market research. So I went to all the treatment centers around town, and turns out that this was what Father and I began to call a God shot, because every treatment center said, hey, everybody out there is trying to knock themselves out being higher power neutral. And every day we get requests for either a Catholic or a Christian sober houses, we could send you plenty of men. And that's how it got started.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's how you got started. So where are you now? How expansive is Trinity Sober Homes in the Twin Cities area now?
Sure. So after 10 years of operation, we've provided housing to 367 men. We have, as best we can tell, the highest post-treatment recovery rates in the nation at 71%. So 71% of our men are still sober. And we have three beautiful homes in the Summit Hill and Merriam Park areas near St. Thomas More and over by St. Mark's. And we provide spiritual coaching to our men. And as Father would often say, he was good at borrowing phrases from others, he would say, go forth and preach the gospel. And they would look at me, and especially you, try not to use words.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, very good. Although I must say, Tim, knowing you as I do, that your words are oftentimes well received because you are a man of good humor, and that is always needed as well. Well, I'm grateful that you have committed yourself, your life, to living out the gospel in this way, Tim. And I'm grateful that you are doing all of this for your brothers who are in need. What makes Trinity Sober Homes different from maybe other sober homes?
Sure. Well, I can say that the similarities are high. So we provide safe, alcohol and drug-free environments where men are held accountable to a series of rules. We have fewer rules than other houses because we specialize in men that are aged 40 and over.
Okay.
Part of the challenge of some of these younger men and women who are part of the opiate epidemic is when you're in your 20s, and you started using opiates in your teens, your frontal cortex really stopped developing. And as a result, the limbic system, which the doctors will tell us, has really not developed such that your ability to tell some basic things, right and wrong, good judgment, sometimes memory. And it can be very challenging. Personally, God has not blessed me with patience. So we just decided to work with men that are 40 and over because most of our men, alcohol is their main problem. So that's how we're similar. How we're different is I think everybody knows that whether you're related to a loved one or you've had an experience with an alcoholic, whether they're still drinking in recovery or maybe have passed away, is that until somebody surrenders and accepts and acknowledges the fact that, A, I have a problem, B, I can't do this myself anymore, and C, I have to figure out this God question, because if I don't, I'm going to die. And so what we offer is men a path through our homes and our spiritual coaches, and as I like to tell people, one of the things that I felt strongly about is we are unapologetically Catholic with a capital C. Okay. So you don't have to be Catholic to live with us. You just have to believe that there is a higher power. And you ready for this, Patrick?
I'm ready.
it's not you.
Yes. Yeah.
And
shocking and scandalous.
Well, and as shocking and scandalous as that may seem to many of our listeners, the reality is that we probably reject one out of every three men who are still struggling with the concept of trying to live a life based on self-will.
Yeah.
It's my life, and I know what's good for me.
Right.
And that just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So what we call our secret sauce is our spiritual coaches. We have nine accredited, licensed spiritual coaches, ranging from what I would call a neutral higher power coach all the way up to a priest. And one of the things that Father was very adamant about, Father Fleming, was that we do not convert by the sword. Mm. We meet men right where they're at, just like Jesus did. You know, Father taught us that the first thing that Jesus did in his public ministry was create community. And so our uniqueness also comes in the creation of a spiritual, safe home, not a house, but a home that you would be proud to live in.
Right. And some of that is reflected, I think, in your dress right, feel right policy as
yes.
well.
Yes. One of Father's favorite sayings is that, having spent time, obviously, both in the seminary and the military, one of the things that he taught us was that, you know, everybody wants transformation. You know, Matthew Kelly talks about becoming the best version of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The problem or the challenge is, how do you go from chaos, which is where many of us were when we were drinking, how do you go from chaos to transformation? You don't get from here to there. So first what has to happen is formation. And the formation of men, whether it's in the military or in the seminary, comes from developing a common purpose, a common set of goals, and a common support group where men can come together. And through the formation process, by setting that foundation, transformation then can occur. So we really see our job is to helping a man walk that bridge from chaos to transformation, and we're really in the formation business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ultimately, we want to see men transform themselves and reconnect with their families. But, you know, I didn't get sober till I was 50. I'm now 62, and I would say that it continues to be a journey of connecting with other people.
Well, wonderful representation of, even if in brief, of what Trinity Sober Homes is all about and what you're committed to. God bless you and Father Fleming. How can people find out more about Trinity Sober Homes, Tim?
Sure. Our website is Trinity Sober Homes. That's plural, trinitysoberhomes.org. And on there you'll see some wonderful videos of Father and some beautiful pictures of our homes. There's also information there about if you have a loved one and you'd like to have us discuss them living with us, we'd be happy to do so.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, it looks like I'm on it right now, and it looks like there you have all sorts of great information here all in one place, trinitysoberhomes.org. Well, Tim, we will continue to keep you in our prayers, keep Trinity Sober Homes in our prayers. We are grateful for all of your work and your continued dedication to the Lord and the spreading of his kingdom. God bless you, Tim. Thanks for being on the program.
Patrick, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. All right, so wonderful, wonderful information there about Trinity Sober Homes. Check it out, trinitysoberhomes.org, especially if you're in need of some help there, if you know someone who is in need of some help that they can provide. All right, we're going to go into our final break. When we come back, Paul and I have all sorts of great things that you can do to help deepen your faith and follow the Lord more closely, so I'm sure you'll want to stay with us. Be right back.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And you touch all of our lives in so many ways, and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years, and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people. You talk about your faith. You share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic, and welcome back to Mass. I'm sure you've heard, but just to be sure, the reinstatement of the obligation to attend Mass on Sundays and Holy Days of Obligation begins the weekend of July 3rd and 4th, 2021. To read the statements of Archbishop Hebda and the Minnesota bishops, visit archspm.org/COVID-19.
Even as we all head back to Mass, you can always hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Start the day right with prayer and reflection at daybreak at 4 a.m., daily Mass at noon and 7:30, Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew. Don't forget the Family Rosary Across America at 7 p.m., Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
The parishes of Northeast Minneapolis invite you to join them as they take Jesus to the streets and venerate his Eucharistic presence. The 16th annual Northeast Eucharistic Procession will begin this Saturday, June 13th at 3 p.m. at Holy Cross Church in Northeast Minneapolis, and will conclude at All Saints Parish with benediction. For parking information and more, visit archspm.org/events.
Pray for the Synod in a special way. This Thursday, June 17th, venture out to the Church of St. Pius V in Cannon Falls. Join fellow Catholics for daily Mass, adoration, Lectio Divina, in preparation for our Archdiocesan Synod. That's Thursday, June 17th, 7 to 8:30 p.m., St. Pius V, Cannon Falls. For more information, go to archspm.org/synod. By the way, you can also read there the Synod Convocation Decree, which Archbishop Hebda read aloud at the Pentecost Vigil Mass on May 22nd.
All right, guys, listen up. Holy Mass, Eucharistic procession, food trucks, and beer.
I'm in.
Have I got your attention here?
Yep.
The Catholic Watchmen of the Archdiocese want you to join them and Bishop Andrew Cousins for Catholic Father's Day, Saturday, June 19th, starting at 4:30 p.m. at Maternity of Mary in St. Paul. Come and ask Jesus to renew Catholic fatherhood in imitation of St. Joseph. You've got to register online, though. Go to archspm.org/events.
And don't forget, in heaven there is no beer.
I've heard that.
That's why we drink it here.
That's why we drink. Yeah.
Well, and as Jeff Cavins told us about on the show today, join the Catechetical Institute School of Discipleship. Become an activated disciple. The 40-day discipleship challenge includes 7 Tuesday evenings at the Church of St. Vincent de Paul, Brooklyn Park, with Jeff, and it's followed by an activated discipleship seminar with Dr. Mary Healy. It all starts Tuesday, June 22nd. Registration deadline June 19th. Visit cistudent.com today.
And whether you're more of a country mouse or a city mouse, plan to take part in Rural Life Sunday. On Sunday, June 27th, Archbishop Hebda will celebrate Mass outdoors at St. Patrick's in Shieldsville at 10:30 a.m. Come and give thanks for God's creation and provision in the midst of rural splendor. Find out the details at archspm.org/events.
And just a reminder to steer your browser over to practicingcatholicshow.com. That's where you'll find links to past interviews, all of our social media, how to suggest a guest or a topic. It's all under one roof at practicingcatholicshow.com.
That is the roof under which it is. Yes, very good. Paul, you got any gardening going on around you?
None.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not a gardener.
Okay, all right. That's all right.
I love the product of gardening.
Yes. I'm with you there. That's kind of how I go. I have my wife. She does most of the garden work, and
everything I plant dies.
What's that?
Everything I plant dies.
Oh man, I'm so sorry to hear that. All right. Well, what's not dying is next week's show. We hope next time on Practicing Catholic, Bishop Cousins is back with us to share about Catholic Father's Day. The Catholic Watchmen are leading the charge this Father's Day as we take a look at the special gifts bestowed unto men and fathers. Also, Tim Cahill and Nestor Argello are joining us to talk about how to cultivate friendships as young adults, and Catholic Beer Club may be just the place to do so. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.